Washington. On this Labor Day, organized labor is on the move. Walking picket lines in Hollywood, signing up new members, and in some cases celebrating wins at the bargaining table. Here's AFL-CIO President Liz Schuler addressing fellow union members last week.
It's been a long time since this country has seen workers united like this. A long time.
Polls show public support for unions is close to its highest level in more than half a century. Organized labor still faces big obstacles, though, and for people who don't belong to a union, their bargaining power depends in large part on the overall health of the job market. So we're going to spend a few minutes this morning talking about the state of labor with two of our correspondents, Andrea Hsu, who covers the workplace, and Scott Horsley, who covers the economy. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Andrea, let's start with you. During the pandemic, a lot of workers became newly interested in forming a union. We've seen high-profile efforts to organize workers at Starbucks cafes and Amazon warehouses. What's the result been?
Well, there has been a lot of organizing activity, but with mixed results. Last year, you know, workers petitioned for more than 2,500 union elections, and that's the highest level in 7 years. It has slowed down a little bit this year, but less than half of last year's elections ended in wins for the unions, and even fewer resulted in collective bargaining agreements, a union contract, which is the whole point. Mm-hmm. And you know, Layla, unionizing efforts at Starbucks first got underway 2 years ago. And more than 300 stores have unionized since, but not one has a contract. And I think that is one reason we've seen some slowdown in new organizing at Starbucks, because baristas just aren't seeing that there's been a lot gained for all their efforts. And meanwhile, they have seen the lengths that the company has gone to dissuade people from unionizing. We've seen baristas get fired, stores have been closed, and while this is illegal, the penalties are so minimal, they don't appear to be a deterrent.
Yeah, so that's really hard. Sounds like a lot of roadblocks for those trying to form new unions. So what explains the continued enthusiasm?
Well, I think public perception of unions has shifted a lot in the last few years. Not only are unions popular again, but a new Gallup poll found a third of people they surveyed believe unions are getting more powerful. And that's a huge jump from just 5 years ago, when only 19% thought unions were gaining strength. And you can see what's behind the shift. This summer alone, we saw pilots win big raises. UPS drivers got what the Teamsters calls the most lucrative contract in UPS history. And of course, the Biden administration is happy about this. Workers are gaining not only historic raises, but also big quality of life improvements. Here's Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu.
I think that is continuing to inspire, you know, what people have called like a hot labor summer, right? You know, workers standing up. And the more we see that, I think the more we will see the benefits of real worker power.
Hot labor summer.
Yeah. We should point out, though, that now is the perfect time for unions to be putting up big demands, because these companies have been enjoying record profits. And how long this lasts is unclear.
Okay. On that note, we should bring in Scott here and talk about the economy. How are unions feeling about this current moment in the economy?
Yeah, I think unions do feel like, if not now, when? As Andrea says, they've watched companies rack up big profits. We've also got very low unemployment, which makes it hard for companies to replace striking workers. And for the moment, of course, unions do enjoy strong public support. They also have a friendly administration in the White House right now. Vice President Harris said last week, unions help the middle class and the economy overall.
When union workers bargain for higher pay, it increases pressure on non-union companies to raise pay as well, to stay competitive in the labor market.
That said, there are limits to how much help the White House can be. The administration has taken steps to boost union participation in public works projects, for example, but it has gotten nowhere with unions' biggest priority, which is legislation that would make it easier for private sector workers to organize.
Yeah, I mean, we're in an economy where 9 out of 10 workers don't belong to a union. What kind of leverage do they have?
Yeah, the best thing those workers have going for them is the strong job market. Unemployment did tick up a little bit last month, but it's still very low. Employers added another 187,000 jobs in August. Competition for workers has been pushing up wages, especially for those at the bottom of the income ladder. All of that is good, but it's no match for the power of collective bargaining. You know, a report from the Treasury Department last week said, on average, unionized workers earn 10 to 15% more than their non-union counterparts. They also enjoy better benefits and tend to see smaller racial and gender pay gaps.
So, Andrea, one of the high-profile job actions this summer is that ongoing strike by actors and writers. How does this movie end?
Well, the last Hollywood writer strike in 2007 lasted 100 days, and we're already past that.
Yeah.
What's complicating things is it's not just about wages. It's about job security and changing times. And we're seeing that in Detroit as well. You know, these are industries going through major shifts to streaming services, their electric vehicles, the adoption of AI. Workers want a say in how these changes are going to be made. And employers, on the other hand, feel like there's a lot of uncertainty and they want to preserve their flexibility.
NPR's Andrea Hsu and Scott Horsley, thank you both.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.